Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish, located at 43 Holton Street in Allston, Massachusetts. Well, we're here during this time, and of course, I always welcome you to our broadcast at this time, and oftentimes I invite you to come to Mass at our parish, but obviously we're not celebrating Mass at our parish. In place of Mass, we are doing Eucharistic Adoration, and our Eucharistic Adoration on Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30 continues. Eucharistic Adoration is unique because, as you know, as Catholics, we believe the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. So when you come to a church, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your life is all about, regardless of where you are in your life, you're coming to the Lord as did the people who encountered the Lord as he was walking on the earth. And you're coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is who I am. And I ask you whatever it is you're asking. But ultimately, we come to the Lord, this is who I am. And it's a very powerful way to pray. And it is a way to pray in a rather unique and a way that everyone can do it. There is no exception of who can come into a church and pray before the Eucharistic Adoration. So ironically enough, this virus has given us a very powerful opportunity. So during our Mass times, we are actually offering Eucharistic Adoration instead of Mass, and that's 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturdays and 10 o'clock a.m. on Sundays. And we're also offering Eucharistic Adoration as normal, 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays. So you're welcome to come. Now, we are going towards the fifth Sunday of Lent, and on the fifth Sunday of Lent is the reading of the raising of Lazarus. This is year A in our list of readings, and these are all those powerful stories, which usually are in Lent, different powerful stories, but in A we have the very powerful ones, such as the woman at the well, such as the man born blind. And of course, here we have, of course, the story of Lazarus being raised. Now, we want to look at this story, and again, put yourself in the story and kind of look at all the factors, what we can put together and what we can understand, because there are some powerful lessons in the story that we're going to look at this week, and we're going to see them all and recognize everything that Jesus has to tell us through this gospel reading. First of all, we understand that Jesus is not in town. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus live in Bethany, which is not in Jerusalem. It's not that far away, but it's not in Jerusalem. And so that's where they live. And we know very little about them. We know that Mary, as the gospel story tells us, is the one who was so sorrowful for her sins. She cleans Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. That's how sorrowful she was. So we know how much of a sinner that she was. And we know, that's Mary. We know about Martha and we know about Lazarus, but even less do we know about Martha and Lazarus do we know about Mary. And what we know is that she was a sinner who was extremely repentant. Lazarus, we know the least about. But what we know about him, he was a sinner. Well, how do we know? He was a repentant sinner. How do we know? It doesn't say that anywhere in the gospel, because those are the people Jesus hung out with. Those were his friends, the people who were repentant sinners. So if you are a sinner and you say, Lord, you will have nothing to do with me because I'm such a sinner, then you miss the whole point of the gospel altogether. And I get those stories all the time. One of my favorites I love to give as a response, people say, oh, Father, I can't go to your church. No, I'm too much of a sinner. If I show up, the roof is going to cave in. And usually what I say to those people is, would you please come to the church? As a matter of fact, why don't you come now? Because we need a new roof and we can use the insurance money. Fortunately, the roof at St. Anthony's is in pretty good shape. But I could call a few pastors around, see if they wanted you to drop into their church. You know what? The church is for sinners. If you want to be good enough to go to church, you miss the whole point of why you need to go to church. Literally, it is an understanding in the Catholic Church that if you are perfect, then the commandment to go to church on Sunday does not apply to you. Just know that. It's only for sinners and repentant sinners. So understand that. And that's how we know everything we know about Lazarus. We know he was a repentant sinner. We know that he was not liked by the self-righteous. We learn that later on, not in this story, but we really learn that later on. Why? Because they're self-righteous. They don't have an understanding of their own sinfulness. They are sinners too, but they're not repentant sinners. They're self-righteous. They're saying, me? You're calling me a sinner? How dare you? Whereas the others are saying, yes, we've come to understand. As the first words from St. Peter, leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. So this is what we know about Lazarus. We don't know what sins that he repented of. Neither do we know what sins that Mary repented of, nor Martha. But we know that he repented of sins. It could have been anything from missing the Sabbath once in his lifetime, which is probably not the sin that he is repentant of, that he committed and repented of, to being an armed robber, which is probably also the sin that he is not the sin that he repented of, that he was guilty of as well. Although we do know that Jesus forgave a robber that was the good thief on the cross. But we know that somewhere in the midst, he was some form of a sinner. So that's an important message for anyone who's out there and saying, as I said, I can't go to church. I'm too much of a sinner. Well, no, there is no such thing. And you are welcome to come to the church and talk about why, you know, what your sins are and how you want to leave your sinful life. Okay. So then we see another important part, and this is extremely important here. They send a message that Lazarus is sick. Why? Because they're expecting Jesus to show up and heal him. So he is the beloved of Jesus. The one that you love is sick. So please come and heal him like you did to St. Peter's mother-in-law, like you did to Jairus's daughter, like you did all the way down the line. But Jesus says no. Actually, what he says is not yet. Why? He says not yet, and we learn later on in the story, because there's something greater he has in store. So many times people will say, the Lord is not listening to my prayer. It's not even that he's saying no, it's that he is not listening to my prayer. Basically, here's you understand it. If you pray for something and you don't get a response, and the Lord says, keep praying, and you don't get a response, he does hear your prayer, but there is something greater in store there. I used to work for a boss when I was in the Navy who, it was great. It was really great. He didn't like to talk. Having a boss that doesn't like to talk is like one step away from heaven, let me tell you. But anyways, great guy, but he didn't like to talk. So what would happen is people would ask him something and they would have to wait for him to give a response. And he would just pretend they weren't even there. He heard them, but he would pretend they weren't even there. And I figured this out really quick. I said, no. And I told him, I says, you don't ask him anything. You tell him where you're going. And when you tell him, if he doesn't want you to go, he will speak up immediately. And that's what I used to do. Okay. His name was Sam. Sam, I'm running off to the store. Oh, no, you're not. Okay. But if he didn't say anything, guess where I was going? I was going to the store. Do you see that? Silence does not mean I don't hear you. It means I hear you. I'm not responding in the way that you are expecting. Trust in that and know that. Because what's happening here? There is something greater that's going to happen, and therefore I can't answer the prayer in the way you expect, because if I do, then I can't do something greater. Trust in me and know that I am working on something greater here, because the Lord does answer prayer, but he answers prayer in his own way. If he answers prayer in your way, then he is slave to you. and he is not slave to anybody. That's when we get into magic. That's what magic is. Magic is, this is what I want done, and this is what you will do. God does not do magic. He does miracles, but not magic. So we're looking at that, and that's that powerful thing that we can see. So keep those things in mind. Jesus says essentially no. He really says not yet. There are times that Jesus says no. They're in the Bible. They are there. They're asking, why isn't he coming? But they don't know, because he's got something greater in store. Just as he's got something greater in store for you when you are praying to him, even though you may not feel the answer that you are expecting. So we want to look at those two things, and then as we build on the story, we're going to see everything that is a part of it. Well, we are living in a rather unique time right now, and obviously we are not having Mass every single weekend, as we had talked about, and as per order of Cardinal O'Malley. However, we are, in fact, offering Eucharistic Adoration, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast. You know, this is such a unique time. It brings me back to when the newspaper strike was going on back in the 60s, and they actually read the comics to people, because the comics are really important all the time. But anyway, so it's a rather unique time, but it's a unique time for reflection. It's a unique time for prayer. And of course, the Cardinal has asked for churches to be open so that people can come and pray at in their respective churches. So it's a unique time to pray. And also maybe consider going to confession as a part of that reflection. This is something radically different than what we've experienced. And this is also a worldwide phenomenon. So this is radically different. So this really is a good time to reflect on who we are and where we are going and what we are all about. So this time, take it as a rather unique opportunity in Lent that just coincidentally, as some people might say, fell during Lent. But whatever the case may be, reflect on who we are. Remember, I said that earlier in the season. Who we are and who is God. So who are you, O Lord, and who am I? Great thing to reflect on during this time. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock p.m. here on WROL.